For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we're live.
We are live. Not at the Hive. I've been gone for a couple of weeks, I think.
Welcome back, Dan.
Yeah, welcome back.
I'm back. I hope everybody had a great holiday and a semi-sane week back to work, since it's it's always that first week back.
Yeah.
Yep.
It causes people headache and heartache.
For sure. Yeah. People are on, holidays, vacation, and they're anxious to get back and get their marketing efforts strong out the door for 2021. So
100.
I seriously can't believe it's Friday.
This week has been a bit of a blur. But before we jump into the chatter, welcome to episode 162 of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches. Today, we are going to talk about how to create content that resonates with your audience in 2021. We're going to talk about some tools and some techniques. So instead of just creating content for the sake of content, you're actually creating content that your audience will find engaging and useful and will deliver a return for you in all of those efforts.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be talking about a lot of the first steps that you should be taking throughout 2021 when you are creating your content. So that's a little bit of like keyword research. We'll go through some of the tools that we use for that, why it's important, how to build it out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I think Stacy just dropped.
She just dropped. I was just gonna say. Let's see if she comes back. Maybe something.
Yeah, we'll see if she comes back. That's okay.
I closed the browser window myself just a couple of minutes ago by accident. So
it's all good.
Go ahead.
Why don't we start with some of the what's new while we're waiting for Stace to kind of sort out some of her technical difficulties?
Yeah, sure.
So let's dive into this. So the first one I want to talk about is the Google Local Panel Health update that they've done. This is just like a quick little update that Google has done for businesses. So when you scroll through, this little GIF kind of explains it for us. It goes through, it's on your Google My Business, a little bit more details. And it kind of shows, what the necessary health measures that those businesses are taking, whether it's online, whether you need to, wear a mask when you go inside, everything like that. So it's just another update that Google has given us to kind of, let businesses give their customers a little bit more information, especially right now during COVID.
Absolutely. And here in Ontario, we're on lockdown. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to search to see what the status was of certain businesses and how they were operating. And unfortunately, almost every single business that I saw had not opened, had not updated their Google My Business profile. And these are major companies. So I definitely think it would be one of those, things to, if your office is closed, then you should, maybe market is closed, but available for pickup or whatever it might be, and use some of those tools that you have available to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. A lot of businesses, throughout the pandemic, they might have been, neglecting their Google My Business a little bit. But, Google My Business really does have some really great tools and ways that they can communicate COVID-19 updates to their customers. Welcome back, Stace.
Welcome back.
Sorry about that. That's the problem you get when a lot of people have, I suppose. My Wi-Fi just decided, no, I don't feel like.
Not today.
That's Friday afternoon. Forgot about it. And I'm like scrambling. But I'm back.
I've got a way overbuilt infrastructure here at my house. So hopefully, cross my fingers now that I say that, my internet.
It's always the way, right?
Always the way. Sure. So before you dropped out, Stacey, we're just doing what's new right now. I was going to say that a big part of this topic today is really in your wheelhouse, in your team's wheelhouse, in terms of how to create content on a regular basis and also how to repurpose it properly so you're not pulling your hair out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. A lot of people, you know, we get a lot of clients that might suggest that, oh, can you just start writing some blogs for us? And we like to take more of a strategic approach on how we handle that, because, you know, developing content can be a lot like, you know, having a sticker on something and you can't find that loose edge. So we're going to walk you everyone through some tactics that we use pretty much daily here at the Hive to actually make it a lot easier and more effective. And so you're working smarter, not harder.
Absolutely. And this is a very important thing before we get back to what's new, is you can chase your tail when you're trying to create content and become very frustrating. And one of the most important parts about effective content creation for content marketing is a systemic approach. Create those content machines, and it's going to, the change is absolutely incredibly drastic, both not only how to research and find out what your audience is actually looking for, but, you know, how do you draft a blog post properly? How do you SEO optimize? I shouldn't have said SEO optimize, because that's search engine optimization. But how do you properly SEO content so it's taking into account 2021 signals on search engines, as opposed to just trying to stuff a whole bunch of stuff into an article to talk for the sake of talking?
Yeah. And a lot of the plays that we're going to be discussing, we like to call them plays because it doesn't matter if it's a furniture company or a real estate agent, they all can use this strategy.
Hey, so I just sent a shout out to hashtag marketing Twitter, and welcome aboard, friends. So this is actually, we'll jump all out of order, but let's see if we can capture some of them back again. In things we love, I'm going to roll it.
Yep.
You got that handy?
Yeah, I can do that. I can get the things we love. If you're feeling how I'm feeling, and you know I won't stop,
all we got to do is take our love to the top. So we've only got one really interesting thing that has been emergent on Twitter, which has been there's a little bit of irony, but a bunch of marketers created a hashtag called hashtag marketing Twitter. And it kind of picked up steam. It's the irony behind this is that marketers are in fact not all that collaborative when it comes to social media, at least in general. And you know, software developers typically have this notion of a very introverted individual sitting maybe in a dark room, when in fact the opposite is really the reality. They're extremely collaborative at things like GitHub and open source and Twitter. But it's really great to see hashtag marketing Twitter come out, because it's providing a way for very, you know, smaller accounts and people to connect with peers and ask questions and get advice, right on up to you know, CMOs and corporate brand marketers from Burger King and examples like that. So it's a great hashtag to follow. There's a ton of resources there. The engagement is great, and you can really get a lot out of collaborating and asking questions of other marketers and content marketers and SEOs and you know, all brands, all forms of marketers up there on Twitter. So check out hashtag marketing Twitter. They've definitely got it all going on.
Absolutely. Awesome. Cool. Right on. So I think there's a few more what's new before we kind of dive into our what's working. But right now we're going to be going through Facebook is kind of updating a few things on their pages. Nothing too crazy right now, but right now they're just kind of doing an updated page layout for some of their public accounts. So as you can see here, another example of Sebastian Smith, it's just a little bit bigger. It's a little bit more kind of, you know, front facing, a little bit quicker to organize through. And then they've also added additional, edit accesses, search, but also, you know, following people within the comments. Now, if you're a public figure and you're verified, people can follow you right from the comments, which is just a nice flow. So just some good, you know, quality of life stuff that they're adding to these new pages for sure.
Yeah,
you know, I like about this too. Sorry, Dan, if you want to go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
But what I liked about this is that one of the pieces this article mentions as well is that it's not really so much about like that whole argument about vanity metrics, but now it's going to help Facebook or Instagram, well, primarily Facebook because it's on that channel first, but really rate who is an influencer and who is not really one. So it's kind of like, you know, it's putting more weight behind the follow versus the like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, these are, we talk a lot about the vanity metrics. So if you're an influencer with 2.3 million likes or followers and you're getting dozens, even 100 reactions, that actual ratio is pretty poor. So I think the focus being on engagement and reducing the focus on the vanity metric of your total gross size is good. Right. I think it's a healthy thing. It's a bit of the maturation of social media, which could be argued that Facebook isn't necessarily maturing quite as quickly as some would like in some of the other with privacy issues and concerns. But I definitely like the de-emphasizing of the vanity metrics and the sheer size of your following and focusing more on the engagement with your existing audience.
Yeah. And that kind of follows the theme that, you know, Facebook has been trying to push for the past year and a bit now, that more community feel. You know, I think that within the past year, a couple of years or so, it's been kind of focused on the huge vanity metrics. But, you know, the essence of social networking and social media, it's kind of dwindled, right? So by doing this, they're kind of bringing it back and focusing more on the content and what the people actually have to say versus, you know, actually just like pushing huge posts with huge vanity metrics that don't really contribute to any conversations that you're following. So it's definitely some like interesting stuff.
Mark Zuckerberg read Start With Why or something, because when you think about it, he's facing more and more competition with all the new, you know, like TikTok and Twitter and everybody else and everything new that's coming out. So it's like he's just kind of going back to the root, like, let's be social.
Yep. Absolutely. And I think that's that came out of F8 2 years ago, right? Where it was more the living room and less the town hall.
For sure.
Cool. So next up is, so Apple's got some upcoming privacy features that Facebook, if you do Facebook advertising every time you log in, you get a giant pop-up from Facebook running in panic mode about what this is going to do. But it is exposing that Facebook and Snap are at the most risk to be losing a lot of the data that they collect on users as you're using that experience. So if you're in ad targeting, be prepared. The world's going to change rather quickly when that comes out. Now, obviously, Apple doesn't own the entire market, but it's a significant portion of the market. There's no doubt about that.
For sure, especially in North America. I think that there's a little bit more competition, you know, over towards the East, but at least in North America, I believe that there's some stats that show that, you know, Apple's a dominant, phone manufacturer here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is a change that's coming. I believe it's IDFA. Mm-hmm. If you're in marketing and you're marketing, especially if you're doing Facebook ads and Instagram ads and targeting, you might want to be prepared to make some rather quick shifts and moves in your campaigns. At least be prepared for it when it hits and when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
Okay.
It's all about strategy.
Cool.
All about that strategy.
Yeah. So Courtney had a comment. This is jumping back in time a bit. You can't make up for 3 weeks in one. Hit me hard. Yeah. I actually had a Facebook memory that I posted into our Slack channel at Honeypot from 12 years ago, which basically said the same thing. So the more things change, the more they stay the same, right?
Yep, for sure.
All right. Well, let's dive right into what's working.
Alrighty, let's do this. So episode 162, we're going to be focusing on, you know, how to create content that resonates well with your audience, and more specifically, strategies that you should be using within 2021. Mm-hmm. And like Dan said earlier, Stacey, this is kind of the bread and butter of the team that you kind of had throughout the hive, and what the bees do on a daily basis to kind of make sure that this content really stands out for our clients.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny too, because we'll get some feedback where people are like, oh, do you really need to go through all these steps? But each and every piece of the process will make your life so much easier in the long run. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, so many people are just anxious to dive right into the pool, but you need to take your swimming lessons. You need to put your life preserver on, you know, or your water wings. Like, so this is a, I'm really excited to share this with everyone, because I feel that there's a lot of really good nuggets that we can share with our community.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a point that's important to make here is that, look, doctors, before they perform surgery, they have checklists.
Yep.
Airline pilots, before they take off and before they land, they use checklists, you know, and systems and processes in the world of marketing are the difference between your success and your failure. And so trying to get into a rhythm that you start your research in a certain way, and you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to spend a week on research. The more that you do it frequently, it adds up in terms of time.
For sure.
And these pieces too will, hopefully, if you're a continuing watcher of Live at the Hive, you've learned a little bit about customer journey mapping. This is kind of like the next step in that process.
Mm-hmm. It is the next natural evolution. That's for sure. Okay. So things we're going to talk about, obviously, are keyword research. I kind of hate the term keyword research. It's more phrase research. You're really looking into what people are searching for. And, you know, I think I've said this multiple times, but people look at SEO as being this very dry research oriented thing, but in fact there's a lot of psychology behind doing, you're really optimizing the customer journey, and that experience is what you're doing by using these tools. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that and some of the processes that we like to use. Also probably throw in one that I'm not sure if it's there, but it's called seed and stem keyword research. It's actually really mm-hmm. easy to do. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at some tools that we use. We're going to do a case study on Marketer Knows a little bit. And talk a little bit about repurposing and updating all old content,
mm-hmm.
get fresh, sure. which is a strategy you should be leveraging for sure.
Absolutely. So I think right here we're going to kind of lead into talking about, you know, the importance of SEO, because I feel like a lot of times if you're either a small business owner, a lot of times this content that you're trying to push out, you're ignoring the core strategies that you should be implementing, and SEO should be the number one that you're striving for, right? Because as we see here, you know, over 70% of all website traffic comes through SEO. And if you want to like tap into these people who are searching for this content, reading this content, or interacting with this content, you're going to want to make sure that your content is available for them and is quite easy to access.
Yeah. The other thing I think to keep in mind too is that, you know, there's this kind of, often it kind of raises its head. It's like, SEO is dead, and we can, you know, we can use social and we can use ads and we can use these different tools. I think search is not just the main search engine anymore, right? There's Google mm-hmm. Discovery for mobile devices. There's actually a really great Google Discovery case study that I'll dig up where a massive amount of traffic for one site was done strictly through Google Discover, which is on the Google app for Android. You know, you've got image searches, you've got news searches, you've got all sorts of different types of, that's a multifaceted diamond when we talk about search these days.
Mm-hmm.
But one word of warning is always keep your traffic sources diversified, right? It's like having a diversified portfolio and investments. If you have all your eggs into one basket, whether it's Google or, you know, some major influencers will have Instagram or Facebook being their number one traffic source into their website. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that you've got that balance there.
Yeah, I think too, as business owners, we get very, we're almost too close to our product. Mm-hmm. So we think we have a glass. We want to sell this glass. It's a blue glass. It's great. Awesome. But looking up intent on why someone would need the glass is going to get, you know, produce better results. I need a glass because I'm thirsty. I need a glass because I want it to, you know, look nice on my desk aesthetically. Like understanding those search intent items, which is achieved through doing keyword research, is going to help you build content that your customers are looking for and then you're ultimately providing.
Well, and this is a theme that your marketing communication strategy should not be about you. It should be about your customer. And that's where we start out in the customer journey side of things and the persona development. I'm going to have to cover you up, Stacey, because Courtney made a long comment here. I'd also like to say that SEO doesn't stand alone from website creation. I've seen several clients pay thousands, tens of thousands sometimes, for a website that has zero optimization or even basic technical setup to be able to rank. Yep. When you sell a website, SEO should be a huge part of that, not a nice to have. Well, we couldn't agree more.
Yeah, for sure. That's like giving someone a box of pizza and it only having a couple slices in it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the core of what your website should be based off of, is a really good SEO foundation and a strategy, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That you can
build up on, for sure.
All right, so let's keep going here.
So I think here we just kind of want to talk about, you know, people who are effective marketers and understand what they're doing and want to kind of go to that further step are always utilizing these new tools and programs and helping them kind of get this information on, you know, what people are searching for, where they're searching for it, what they need this information for, right? And understanding these terms that are kind of related to it, this is going to be really a lot of your first steps when you're creating this content. A lot of times when we're kind of creating content at the Hive, Stacey and her team will do a lot of keyword research, a lot of search term research, just to kind of set the tone and see where people are gathering this information from.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's your MarTech stack. And that's the technology that you use to work your way through. Now, budgets big or small. One of the things actually that we're starting in 2021, I was lucky enough to be connected with some of the folks at SEMrush. So we will be doing some interviews with the SEMrush team and doing a few deep dives. On Live at the Hive specifically about SEMrush and the tool sets that they offer. So that's going to be fun. So let's keep going. So kind of going through
now we're kind of getting into this keyword research, right? So what's this keyword research mean for you? How is it going to help your content get to the next step? And one of the tools that we use, and like Dan just said, SEMrush. SEMrush is one of the top tools that we use at the Hive, as well as other marketers use, to kind of create this content that packs a big punch.
It does. It's a huge platform. They've grown exponentially. It's really, it's named, it's SEMrush, apparently, according to them. There was a big debate over the holidays on that. So I'm not going there. It's SEM to me. It always will be. You know, there are other tools you can use. Ahrefs is a very capable tool. It's an awesome tool as well. For the more technically minded, it's a little bit more on-site technical, like Screaming Frog, SEO Spider. And let's see here. Just want to show a few here.
I can get...
I'll share another my screen maybe quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Keep it organic. Let's go. Courtney says, awesome. Yes, looking forward to it. Me too. Window or screen to share. Okay. Let's see. They're asking me new stuff. Yes, I will.
What is going on?
It's always the ad block for me. They're always telling me to, Matt, turn off your ad block for us. It's like, okay.
There we go.
There we go.
So as you can see here, this is a little bit of a view of Honeypot Marketing, but the tools that exist in here are pretty substantial. There's a lot going on.
It can be pretty overwhelming. But when you first dive in there, because you're like, whoa, where do I look? But the good thing with SEM, SEM, whatever, Rush, is that they have a great like video tutorials that you take that can walk you right through the process and make it really easy.
Yep, absolutely. The Keyword Magic tool, Organic Traffic Insights are all extremely, backlink analytics and backlink audit are all extremely useful for you during this this content creation process that you'll be diving into.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see here. Let's keep going. So SEMrush is the one. Now, Answer the Public. Stacey, this is one of your favorites, I know.
It is. I love this because you can put in, like, let's say, you could put in, like, going back to the blue glass, you could put in glass. And you could even decipher or pick which country you want to research. Mm-hmm. And from that, it will actually lay out this beautiful, this is only half the circle, but it's actually a full circle. And it will lay out what people are actually searching for, the how, the whole five W's, you know, who, what, when, why, I can't say right now. But anyway, with the dark green, and it'll show you exactly what is most popular and what people are kind of sort of looking for. And I love this because it gives you like almost like question queries that you can use to build blog content, social content.
Yeah, when I go through this kind of process, definitely Answer the Public is one of the first places that I go. I find that whenever I put either a term in or anything that I kind of want to look at a little bit more in depth, this just like quick fires ideas in my mind, just going through blog posts, videos, everything, right? Definitely recommend this one.
Yeah, well, the thing is here is that Answer the Public sources from several different sources to pull this together. For anybody creating content, and you may have a smaller site and say, look, you know, whether it's if you're trying to rank, for example, for, I don't know, home inspections, because you're a home inspector.
Yeah.
If you were to Google home inspection and you see major sites and you see Wikipedia pages and you see government pages, that's a cue that you're not going to be able to rank because the domain authority that you've got cannot stand up against those other large, especially governmental sites and you know, big corporations. But question-based searches are the number one way for what we call a gap analysis, where you can research your competition site and find out what people are actually looking for. The beauty of using Answer the Public and pulling that up is that you will find really good opportunities to get people visiting your site that have a very high level of search intent. So from a content creation perspective, think about a few things in 2021. Create a glossary of terms for industry terms. I've actually seen, there's a great site, it's a terrible site, but like design-wise, it's very simple. But this fellow was a tiler, and he would just answer questions. He had people email him questions, and he had this massive page of question and answers, like real questions from people about how they tile. And he just kept, every Friday he would add it to his page, a massive page. And the guy ranked like crazy for these tiling terms. And basically I ended up talking to him. He said 80% of his business comes through inbound searches like that. Right.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. He could use it for rich snippets too in SERP. And then you can also use it to repurpose maybe some of your older content. Maybe you have an article that you published, I don't know, 2 years ago, and you use Answer the Public and you realize a lot of people are actually looking for that information. You could go back and refresh that evergreen content, reoptimize it, so that way you can offer what people are looking for.
Totally. So we got to pick up the pace a little bit here. The next tool that you can use is obviously Google Search and Google Trends. Yep. Google Trends will give you a really good... my Google Assistant just turned on, obviously, because I said just conveniently. But yeah, those are some of the tools. They're the Keyword Magic tool in SEMrush, Answer the Public, and Google Search and Google Trends. So in terms of Google Search... what it can show you is something like this, and I'll just share my screen quickly. Move you over there. Okay, so if I just do a search for digital marketing, I scroll down to the bottom here. See these related searches? These are the Google, You're making it harder and harder to do these things. There we go. You can copy it. You can open up a text document. These are called the stems. This is what Google sees as highly related to the term digital marketing, right? Mm-hmm. So this is good because digital marketing course is highly related to digital marketing. Fun. Wow. Yep. Just do this. My favorite text editor. Okay, so I'll just paste a bunch of these. And I'm interested actually in selling digital marketing courses. So let's see. Then I go down.
Mm-hmm.
And I copy.
It's even more. Yep.
And I keep doing this. Oops. Aha, free.
There you go.
That seems to be a good one. Aha. So people are actually interested in digital marketing courses that also have certificates and that are free. Oh, I have to go back one. Just do this quickly. So that took me about 35 seconds and I've got 25 keywords I can start to research.
There you go.
24, right?
Yeah.
And I can start to pull them into silos of related terms, and then I can put these into SEMrush and I can start to build out my keyword list and they will rather rapidly start to grow. Right?
Yep.
So that's using Google search itself, if you've got a limited budget, you've got a very powerful tool sitting right in front of you called Google.
Yeah, who would have thought, right? Totally. No, but yeah, for sure. And as you start doing this more and more and more, your website's going to get more authority at higher rank, right? And that's the tile example that you gave earlier is a great example of how that authority can help propel your business. Even if you don't even have like a pretty looking website, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Cool.
All right. So let's look at Marketer Knows. So Marketer Knows is a community for digital marketers, marketing managers, small businesses. It's a free to join community with what we call roadmaps and also classes. So you can go there, you can sign up, you can grab a roadmap if you're a marketer. And, you know, we have a roadmap for creating a landing page, how to write calls to action,
yep,
swipe files, all that fun stuff. So our target market. So we'll go to the next. So Ben, okay, Stacey, I think you want to go through this one?
Yeah, sure. Basically, for the purpose of this case study, we wanted to create a persona of Ben, who is actually the marketing director at Marketer Knows. And he has built brand personas, and now he's ready to go the next step to start doing his keyword research. So he needs to understand before he gets into his content development what his customers are actually searching for, what's going to resonate with his audience. Mm-hmm. So now we go into the next step. So Ben will open a project in SEMrush for Marketer Knows. And with the power of SEMrush, he'll be able to get visibility on what areas of opportunity may arise within what Marketer Knows website, and also gather data over time. It also provides you with, competitor information, so you can see what keywords your competitors are ranking for versus yourself, and mm-hmm. how maybe you can optimize your content to beat your competitors, so on and so forth. All right. So once he gets started, he will start using the keyword magic tool and using some of the terms that Dan just pulled, that everyone saw. He will start to do his research. His objective here is to not ultimately go with the top ranking keywords that are going to come up listed. He's going to look for keywords that have a good keyword difficulty rate. So in and around, I don't know, like low 70s, mid 60s, and also a good search volume. And that will actually help him determine or use those keywords for building content, because those keywords aren't so popular that when you have to, when you have to bid or use them, like you're not competing against a McDonald's, mm-hmm. for instance. Let's say he makes hamburgers, you know, you're competing against, I don't know,
well, sites of similar size,
sites of similar size, right? And so, we can go on to the next slide.
I think the other thing I want to add to this, okay, is Google ranks pages, not domains.
Yes.
Say it with me. Google ranks pages, not domains. every page that Google indexes can have its own authority. So your pages that you will see, and this is one of the things about repurposing old content, is you can even go back to your Google Analytics, slide it back to 18 months, filter out maybe don't filter out your website pages, but look at all of your content and see which ones are your most popular. So for example, on honeypotmarketing.com, one of our most popular blog posts is a thanks tips on how to create a direct link for a Google review and how to use the Facebook debugger to refresh open graph preview images, right? Now, are those directly related to us in client acquisition? No, not really. But it certainly shows that we have a domain scope, that we know what we're doing, right?
Sure.
Yep. And people see that. And it has, those things have resulted a lot like Live at the HUD. You know, what's the purpose? It's to create content as if we're a media company.
Right? Yeah, and it supports search intent, right? So people are looking for that information and we're the ones to provide them with the answers or the solution. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things with digital marketing in general is a lot of people have really great ideas, but execution is a whole other thing. And it's challenging. I mean, Stacey, you've been involved this week with some of the more technical things that we've done. I personally clean scrubbed and moved a site in like 3 hours, just I think on the 28th of December, because a client's site got hacked. And so, you know, having that, from the perspective of marketer knows or honeypot marketing, the idea is like, we know you've got great ideas, but you need a team that can help you actually execute that and do content distribution, for example. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's keep going. Hopefully we'll make it through here.
Yeah, we're crunching it. But this one just kind of talks about, you know, the keyword difficulty index. And, you know, this is an index between 1 to 100% that kind of shows how difficult it would be to outrank some of these keywords, right? So, you know, some keywords like organic traffic, that's a pretty big keyword, right? There's a keyword difficulty of 71%. And, you know, as small businesses and marketers, sometimes we need to be realistic about how we're going to be tackling these keyword searches, right? It might be better to kind of go for some terms that are a little bit lower on the keyword difficulty index and create multiple pieces of content for that versus just going for the big one, right?
Well, keep in mind, too, that the KD, one, it's an estimate, but the second thing that's important is it doesn't mean that the keyword is more valuable than another keyword. Mm-hmm. It means that the competition is tighter, more difficult. Now, that typically works, but the one thing I did want to throw in here before we move on from the keyword difficulty and how you do keyword research is understand that Google and Bing and DuckDuckGo and all of these search engines, they have a grammar and a lexicon, what would be known as semantics, right? So if you had a question-based keyword that says it gets 100 searches a month, keep in mind that that gets combined with all of the variations of that potential question. So mm-hmm. they add up very quickly. So it's not like you would say, you know, one specific term, right? How do I launch a digital marketing campaign, right? Yep. There would be how to launch a digital marketing campaign on Twitter, on Google Ads, and you could write an article on how to launch a digital marketing campaign that speaks to these, and you may get pickup from Google on lots of stems of those terms. Okay?
For sure. Absolutely. Cool. Okay. Alrighty, so this is just kind of one of the you know, templates and sheets that we use at the Hive to organize our, you know, STEM questions and keywords. Mm-hmm. So you can see here it kind of goes through, you know, organic traffic, Facebook advertising, UGC, and then also some lead gen.
And not to get off topic because this is what we are discussing, but one thing that comes to mind that our audience should be aware of too, that this is to generate ideas, not to look for opportunities to do keyword mm-hmm. stuffing, because you're only going to hinder your efforts by doing that. So you're looking to kind of crack the code or figure out, you know, what longer terms you can use to build rich content versus just trying to use these terms and stuff them into all your articles.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely don't do that, because the search engines are intelligent agents. Those bots are use natural language processing and several techniques to understand the topics in your site. We will at some point talk about how to create an information architecture, not today, to organize your content on your site so you're leading the search engines in the right direction. So let's keep kicking it.
Exactly.
Okay, and this is kind of another one of how we would use, you know, Into the Public for the specific keyword of organic traffic, right? Mm-hmm. So here we can kind of see, you know, the questions that people begin to ask, you know, like, what is organic traffic? Why is organic traffic important? How it works, etc. So these are some really good techniques to kind of search for any questions, you know, comparisons or any other related topics that people are looking for. And your content around that.
Yeah, I think the important thing is for a lot of businesses, the question style searches will deliver you the highest level of intent when you have got someone visiting your site through those question-based searches. Mm-hmm. They're also one of the fastest growing verticals within Google searches. They comprise quite a large percentage of the total number of searches.
You just have to think how you would search for something. Usually it's like, I need directions to such and such place. Like, it's you're usually asking a question.
And craft your content that provides value and solves a pain point from that persona research and customer experience that solves a pain point for your customer. And that takes really understanding what their pain point is in order to get over that line. Don't just create content based on topic and subject matter that may be related. If you're not 100% sure, it's not solving a pain point for your customer.
Yep, absolutely. Next, before we move on here, lastly, Reddit's a really good tool to use too. People naturally ask a lot of questions on Reddit. Yep. So usually if you're going through some of the top boards, they'll get some really high intent questions and keywords that you can kind of go through.
And the other thing too, I think that's important with this is we're talking about how to create and research that content. Don't forget that distribution has to be at least 50% of your content creation efforts. If it's not, you know, you're missing out. Like if you just post it to LinkedIn, for example, take your article, cross post it to a LinkedIn article, you know, get it out on Twitter, get it into a hashtag community, find the correct boards on Reddit and distribute it there. Be careful on Reddit because every subreddit has their own rules. So you don't want to look like your same. You can't do self-promotion on Twitter or Reddit.
We use Reddit a lot to kind of figure out, you know, what the problems are sometimes, because if a lot of people are talking about it or issuing a pain point, it really helps us, you know, pin that down. Also, I just forgot, but.
Is it Quora you were going to talk about? No.
It's gone.
It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Quora is also a very good source. You can also go in and answer questions in your content distribution. So if your content is answering a question, and just be transparent and say, you know, I work for this company. That's what a lot of people do there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I know what I was going to say, and it relates to this slide, so we're good. You would be amazed at how many different ways you can repurpose one piece of content. So for this example, we're looking at two blogs that Ben would have created for Marketer Knows based on his keyword research and what people were in search intent, what people were looking for. But he could easily take this article and transform it into a short 30-second video. We could make it into an Instagram story. We could make it into an infographic that we could put on Pinterest. The list can go on and on and on, but it
could be like 60 tweets. Yourself.
Yeah.
It could be several tweets with a link back and a nugget from each. Right. The important thing here, do you have our content machine visual? This is actually pretty relevant now. Let me just see if I can pull it up on Lisa chart. That's cool. All right. So keep going there and I'll jump back.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. So
as soon as I pull it up.
Next, we'll kind of have some blog examples on, you know, where the blog lands in the SERPs. So first one here, we can kind of see 20 ways to increase organic traffic. Marketer Knows is at the top here, and it kind of gives a quick little, you know, snippet of what's inside the blog, right? And this is obviously what people like to see when they're searching for these terms. And this is what we're striving for as marketers, to have these snippets here and to get the, you know, a high rank, but also to, we talk about the real estate on Google for, SERPs and snippets. So, this is a really good example. I like how they included this.
It's great to be on that first page, but if you can be on that first page with a snippet, you're cool. Because when you just think of when you've last Googled something, you're more likely, you'll probably ignore the ads, but you'll click on the one that has the snippet because it's actually providing you a little preview of the article. It's more of an opportunity to hook the user.
I think Ben's got some SEO work to do on those page four ranking them.
Well,
all in good time. All in good time. It's a big project we'll be working
on.
Let's keep going.
Okay. So just kind of rounding up some keyword research, you know, Ben put in some extra time throughout this case study to kind of understand what the audience really wanted. And then he also kind of created content that would cater to their needs, which is extremely important. And to remember always, especially throughout 2021, it's all about the quality of your content versus the quantity, right? So maybe, and we preach this a lot, but it's so effective and it's so easy to do that a lot of people should start doing it, is just going over your old content from previous years, high ranking content, and repurposing that content, updating it up to 2021 standards, maybe doing a little bit more keyword research on top of it, and really catering to that content, making sure that the quality is really there.
Yeah. So if you, that's actually the next section. So you can jump over to slide 23.
Yep.
So yeah, find your evergreen content. Freshness is an indicator for Google. There's also, if you're using WordPress, there's a simple plugin called the last updated plugin. So you have your original published date plus last updated, having it listed there. And even featuring in a block a note about the last update and when it was done. Mm-hmm. As opposed to what I would suggest is you may have a technical how-to, right, from 3 years ago. But the interfaces have changed. They look different now, right? They're not the same layout. They're not the same design. Don't go and create a new piece of content. Go back and take your old content, update it, and you're going to take advantage of the authority that it's already built in. And it's a very easy way to take a workload off, right? Yeah,
I was just going to say, and best of all, you're going to save time. You know, it's a simple fix. It's a simple update, a simple way to optimize that. And we should maybe just quickly say evergreen content is not an evergreen tree. It is something that is standalone that like provides valuable information that will stand the test of time, just with a few tweaks and your goal.
For sure. Totally. And here we have some great examples on repurposing old content, you know, using that blog to create, you know, an infographic, a short video snippets, maybe each little paragraph or every two paragraphs of your blog is a new little video snippet. Doing a podcast on the entire blog post is really good too. You get a little bit more in-depth conversation and ideas, hosting a webinar about it. And then, of course, like we said, updating older blogs with newer relevant content.
And another interesting thing you can do with evergreen content is you can go back and look at it. And maybe since you've had some space, you'll see another little snippet or offshoot on how you can grow additional content to support that, right? So
it's a bit of a two-way street. I mean, I think that one slide said you could create a podcast from blog content, which you certainly could do. If you throw up my screen for a second here, Matt. This is the visual that I like to turn to for these types of things. And we use it with clients and all sorts of places. Is you can spend a good portion of your time down here with your podcast, your webinars, your video, your live stream, your white papers, your case studies, right?
Yep.
Create one piece of valuable content per month. then you can take it and you can turn it into all of these things. And as they go down to short form, you have a much higher frequency, but you're pulling your content from down here at the foundation of your content creation, mm-hmm. which will allow you to focus on truly like quality content, as opposed to starting up here where I'm writing one blog post, right? Yep. Whereas, I mean, if we took the transcripts from every single one of these live at the Hives and cleaned them all up, we'd have 162 mm-hmm. blog posts that mm-hmm. all have one topic, right?
yeah, for
but
sure.
But in the same way, we take the live stream and we repurpose it into the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of ways that you can do this, but this is a really important structure to maintain your own sanity.
Absolutely.
Content creation.
yep.
Cool.
Okay. Insanity is key in a lot of ways. Speaking, we always say we have like a tea of skills, and I would say my focus is content, obviously, mm-hmm. but it can really, as a creative person, you can really, it's like me right now, constantly forgetting what I'm going to say. Like you can be really rainbows and unicorns. So this helps you focus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
All right.
We've already kind of talked about this for a little bit, why updating old content. And we kind of did a little recap there, which is good. So,
mm-hmm. yep. So just, just to jump in, we can just do the conclusion, I guess, the end part.
Yeah.
Next slide. There we go. Do your keyword research and keyword research again. It's I kind of hate the term, but it's what the industry and what people know. It's really persona research. It's really digging deep into what your customers are looking for. It's brand and consumer research. And if the traditional world of marketing would look at it, we just have mm-hmm. these incredibly powerful tools to really learn a lot more about our customers. And that can get you away from like, who's my demographic? Well, 18 to 65 year old males and females in North America, which is almost everybody. We don't want to do that. So some of the tools that you can use, obviously, SEMrush, Answer the Public, Ahrefs. There's a lot of tools that are really quality tools, even beyond SEMrush and Ahrefs. There's a whole bunch of tools that are actually all really quality tools. My suggestion is pick the tool set that you're most comfortable with and become very proficient at it.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes what we'll see, I've seen this a million times with SEMrush, someone will have the guru level, which is like 200 US a month, and they have nothing set up in it. It's like they're using it as a keyword research tool. So you want to kind of go a little bit deeper than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then the other strategy is obviously repurposing old content and using the visual that we threw up before to create, focus on creating anchor content and quality content and start to pull the rest of the team out. And also it depends on the company and the structure, but sometimes there's a structure where there's a social team and then there's a content marketing team. And shockingly, they may not speak as much as they probably should, because if I was on the content team writing blog content, for example, or working on a webinar, I would certainly get the social team to start leveraging that work into what it is that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, everybody.
Well, I think that was a good live to kind of start 2021 off for sure.
It was meaty.
Yep.
Lots to dig absolutely. Into there.
And Stacey actually remembered what she was going to say once or twice.
So. There you go.
Hey, right on. We're all taking wins today.
Well, usually you go off the rails really like at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's true.
It's all good. It's all good. All right. Well, for everybody that has joined us from hashtag marketing Twitter, thank you for joining us. Our Periscope
numbers are
probably stronger than they've ever been. But that replay will be available on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. So anytime you want to jump in and kind of review, feel free. And that will do it for episode 162 of Live at the Hive. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.